When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now as all guests do, brought to you by Aturo, your home, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Wow, there's so much happening. I mean, it's all happening at once, and it's just coming to fruition. It's just a lot of fun. We're seeing a lot of decisiveness from the Bears. They are going out there, and they're going to do stuff, and then they got the building, and they're going to do something. It's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of football left, right? There's 8 games remaining in the season. They've got a 3-game stretch coming up against NFC North opponents. This is, it's critical. I completely understand how most people have the Bears front and center in the hiring cycle come January. But these coaches, they got a shot to coach for their jobs here. And it would take something dramatic, something unexpected, something I certainly wouldn't predict or forecast for them to get this humming again. But that's the only way they can look at it. That's the only way they can present it to the players with a lot of football left to go. You know, I mean, they're at 4-5 and 3 meaningful games coming up here.
Brad, I want to get your opinion on the Crane's report this morning about the Bears reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium later. But first, interpret yesterday. Why was Matt Eberflus so evasive? Do you really think he hasn't made up his mind yet? And who do you predict will call the plays on Sunday?
Well, I think you're looking at probably Thomas Brown or the field. I think he was pretty clear, without saying it in so many words, that Shane Waldron will not be calling plays, whether that means Waldron remains on staff in some other role or is, got a parting gift and he'll watch the remaining 8 games from wherever. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of folks were up in arms over Eberflus's media appearance yesterday. But he was going to lose the press conference no matter what.
Right.
Like, there wasn't winning the day for Matt Eberflus yesterday. So if you want to pile on the coach, great. It doesn't really matter. Now, here's one consideration, and I don't know if this is happening, and I don't know if this is an explanation for it, but if they were in the process of working through Thomas Brown, maybe they talked to him early in the morning. I don't know. I'm just guessing. And one or two exterior guys, and I don't know what that would look like because you can't really have someone bring in a new playbook in the middle of the season. But if they're talking to people outside the building, that's certainly a process that could have stretched beyond noon yesterday when Eberflus spoke. So the fact that he didn't have some detailed explanation of, okay, here's how the staff's going to look. This is why I did it. We're not scoring enough points. We haven't been effective. and I believe this is going to help just or help Caleb and help our offense. They weren't there yet, so that's a plausible reason for him sounding like he didn't know what the hell they were going to do yesterday. Is it the reason? I don't know, but no matter what he said yesterday, he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, I understand that, Brad. I wonder, was there any element of kind of competitive advantage stuff? Did that play into his mind a little, keep the folks behind the cheddar curtain from realizing that the Bears have their issues?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Brad, you mentioned John Gruden yesterday. Is Frank Reich a name that makes sense? Any other names that you've heard of the various people that you talked to around the league?
Yeah, it's Frank. I mean, Frank Reich's probably still getting paid, right?
I mean, he was. I'm just thinking of guys who have relationships with Matt Eberflus that fit the criteria you just described.
No, Frank Reich's. That's an interesting idea. I mean, they could have Frank and Thomas Brown kind of combine heads like they did in Carolina a year ago, and hope that it works out a heck of a lot different. With the quarterback here than the quarterback in Carolina, Bryce Young. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've kind of avoided trying to brainstorm out of work offensive coaches because
no, you haven't.
You gave us John Gruden yesterday,
and you lit the match. Well, you ran away.
You said Goodell was on board.
Yeah. I said that, right. Maybe we'll find out later today, or maybe this is something that they carry through Wednesday. Again, I can't imagine. I think he pretty much told you that Waldron's out. And you look at it and say, well, why didn't you do it the week before? Because I thought it would have made a heck of a lot of sense after Arizona. But they weren't too far removed from some solid showings against poor opponents. And they had a struggling opponent coming in. So I think they felt like, you know, we'll get this thing back on track. And, Mike, you just didn't think they were that far off the tracks, right? You didn't think every car in the train was over in the ditch. But that's how it wound up looking. And now you got to look at how they can try to get this going again with the schedule ratcheted up. You know, we talked yesterday, I think I mentioned it, guys, about it was reasonable to expect them to be better than they were a year ago. I don't know where you find the four wins on the schedule here. The schedule, as you guys recall, last season, especially in the second half of that season, was significantly easier than what they're going against now. And that's what really has them backed into a corner besides their poor play. Their poor play is by far the biggest factor.
What, if anything, do they do well on offense? If they said to you, Brad, you're the new play caller, what would you lean on?
Yeah, I think you've got to. I think you got to try to run the football. And, you know, I was texting with a guy who had been here not long ago and had been here a while, and he was confounded because he said he didn't understand why they were struggling to run the ball this season, because he thinks that he said he thought Chris Morgan had some fantastic concepts in the run game, and the way that he had kind of built the run game there was really good. And this is a guy who's been in multiple offenses, different places around the league, and so like that kind of clicked with me. I'm like, okay, you know, why aren't they running the ball with more success? And it's not like they had a great offensive line earlier when Morgan was the line coach here. So it's got to start with that, right? If you want to take heat off the quarterback, you're running the ball, you're taking heat off them because you're running it, and then you're helping set up some of your movement and some of your play action.
Do you think that a new play caller will have any effect on Caleb Williams' success rate or accuracy, or is this all a product of having a bad offensive line unable to create a stable pocket for him to throw down the field?
I would think if they can find someone who can do a better job and can probably get buy-in from the players, right? I don't know how Waldron gets any buy-in from them. Like, he's not dynamic in front of the room. And do you have to be this guy who the players are going to jump out of their chair when the meeting's over and say, I'm ready to run through a wall for this guy? No. But you got to be dynamic in terms of, you know, being able to sell it, right? Like, here's what we're going to do. This is why it's going to work. We're going to attack him in this way. We're going to do A, B, C, and D. Like, he's just not a dynamic guy in that manner, and not everybody is. But if they find a guy who can get buy-in from the players, yeah, I think they've got a chance to for everybody to look better, because there's a lot of football left. But is this a solution? Is this going to solve everything? Boy, I don't know that I'd go there. Like, it's really hard, I think, to change coordinators in midstream and expect that you're going to get something significantly different, something that's different on a consistent basis.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. All right, Brad, you know, put on your decoder, if you will, and help us understand. Matt Eberflus said that the problem with the offense is, and I'm quoting, in-game communication. In terms of that, it's got to be better. The adjustments, the tactical adjustments need to be better with that on all sides. Everything's on the table, and it's important that we look at everything and we take the time to get it done. Any idea what that means? What are the in-game communications that are failing? Is that player to player? Is that coach to player? Is that the head coach understanding what the coordinator is trying to do? Is it the quarterback understanding what the coordinator wants done? What is that?
I think it's probably everything, you know. And Waldron's like you've wondered, would Waldron be better off in the coach's box, right? Like, it's because he's a guy that's on the sideline. So is he struggling to get some of the information that the assistants in the coach's box are providing? Now, some of that, like, someone may be chiming in with intel that they think is really particular to that moment. And for Waldron, he might not be thinking along those lines, right? Like, it might not matter to him, but maybe it is something of like, hey, you got to be aware of this. There's just so little time, right? That play clock, it seems like there's an eternity at times, but they got to be moving quick. The really good play callers, I think they would tell you that a lot of the time they're almost 2-3 plays ahead of what's actually happening, right? That they're able to think that far ahead in the possession. Now, can you always do that? No, you don't know what situation you're going to be in. But that, I think it's probably the communication with the coaches, and then the coaches in turn getting that information to the players. It's just that you don't watch them play and see any flow or with any consistency to what they're doing on offense. And you know, people I spoke to when they hired Waldron were kind of like, oh, really? That's played out faster than I think anyone would have imagined with this talent group. You know, like, I wasn't trying to be funny yesterday and pointing out that they've, you know, 27 points in the last three games, and you rattling off the quarterbacks that have been in place for the Bears when they've had 27 points or less over a three-game stretch to compare Caleb Williams to those quarterbacks, which was, and we talked about it, Caleb Haney, Jonathan Quinn, and Chad Hutchinson, because the comparison is like their skill position talent right now that's on a different galaxy than what those guys had to work with, and it's just it's a non-advantage for the Bears, and that's indictable, and they're going to have to explain it, and they're going to have to try to fix it with 8 games to go.
All right, Brad, I want to get your reaction to what Cranes is reporting this morning. Cranes is reporting that the Bears are reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium, 49 acres south of McCormick Place, because of the way that things stalled in Springfield. It's a mixed-use campus at the Michael Reese development, residential buildings, hotel, entertainment options. The financial structure, according to the story, is not known yet, but seemed to be more palatable, perhaps, than the previous one south of Soldier Field would be. This is because Loop Capital CEO Jim Reynolds was said to have played an instrumental role in convincing Kevin Warren and the Bears to take another look. If they do pivot in that direction, Brad, what would be your reaction to that?
Well, they got to pivot to something because the what they want to do where Soldier Field is, I think you got two people that have been talking about that, Kevin Warren and that the mayor who seems to be screwing everything up these days. Has the mayor even talked about the stadium project lately? It seems like he's buried by all of his other problems. So they got to pivot to somewhere, and it's clear that they don't seem to have interest in Arlington Heights. I could have sworn, from the get-go that it was a leverage play to get back to Arlington Heights. Right. But, is that a situation where the Arlington Heights project wasn't Kevin's idea, so once he was hired, it wasn't a good idea for the Bears? I don't know. Is this new piece of land where this hospital was, is it the second most beautiful piece of land on earth?
That's what I don't think Warren... it's been kissed by God.
Not
but
yet.
I think it's not yet.
No. Until they get funding.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you got to travel. It's great. It's great down where the stadium is right now. But if you think that's the most beautiful piece of land in the world, you got to get out a little bit more.
Well, I think what's interesting about this, Brad, is that obviously the museum campus thing is not flying in Springfield. But now you've got people here in Chicago and real estate investors. So you're talking about building a stadium that would include like restaurants, bar,
right,
things that will keep people down there. Maybe some gambling, right?
Also,
maybe
you would be avoiding a big fight with Friends of the Parks.
Exactly. And meanwhile,
and you could probably
developers building apartment building. I mean, I'm just saying you could build a whole new community.
And you could probably have some parking there because, you saw these renderings of what they wanted to do with Soldier Field, and you kept hearing about green space and park. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't see a parking lot anywhere
down below.
And parking massive problem right now with Soldier Field.
Brad's going to get the car right against one of the current columns.
Yeah. So
I don't know. Media parking would be lower level 12.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You'd have public access. You would think you could get an L stop nearby. I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot more to it on the surface.
Possibility.
That's
a lot more possibility and flexibility.
It sounds like something that's more feasible than what they've been aiming for. They're still going to be, you would imagine, asking for an massive amount of public funding, and that's going to be challenging for them. I don't think there's an appetite for that, nor do I think there should be. And that's a hurdle they've got to figure out a way to clear. And as they, when you play really bad football, which they've done on a more regular basis than they probably should over the last decade, that's got to make it more challenging to get the public behind you.
We're pointing out Kansas City won a Super Bowl and couldn't get the public behind them.
Yeah,
dominant
franchise. It's not directly related, but it's indirectly related enough to matter.
Well, I mean, it's the temperature of your organization, right? What's the temperature of your organization? And if you're not able to win, if you're clumsy, if you can't sustain any success, the temperature ain't going to be too bueno.
Non bueno, if I hear Brad correctly.
International
you
Brad.
Are, yeah, you, if you say that in German, you could be Sean Hockley.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man for the Chicago Tribune. We got to get into this.
Yeah.
What do you think the idea of the kind of reverting to a different downtown area?
Compromise? Would you call it a compromise?
I would think it would. It might
Let's talk about that.
It might be a solution.
It could be.
312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're confident in Kevin.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is George McCaskey talking about Kevin Warren, who really hired as the Bears team president. We talked about him earlier. How would he handle the new coaching search, etc.? His main job, his role in the organization at this point is to get a new stadium for the Bears.
Priority one.
That's it.
Yes.
And he's brought in to help create the dome. And he wants to do it on the lakefront. And he's been very, very open about that idea. He loves that concept. And that's a no-go. The museum campus idea, using that in a way to sort of help the Bears profit. It's a private building, but they want public funds.
It's an odd structure.
They've got like $2.3 billion.
It's a huge financial burden.
Unbelievable.
Public subsidies would be untenable, and I think it would also invite some litigation.
And there's no appetite for it in Springfield. So there's no, you know, the mayor might be on board, but there's no money in
Chicago.
That
doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing.
And I think what we see this morning at Crane's reporting this, and no conspiracy theorists, I don't believe this is related to wanting us to be distracted from what's going on at Hallis Hall.
Hey, speaking of the play caller, have you seen these renderings?
Have you seen these renderings? Michael Reese, that's back on. Our season's going so poorly, let's change the subject. But this is a very interesting story because it does have a little bit more, I think, possibility and flexibility, and it reflects the Bears pivoting. They're calling an audible, as the lead suggests, and they're looking at the Michael Reese site, the 49 acres south of McCormick Place. The mixed-use campus plan would include Michael Reese development with residential buildings, a hotel, entertainment options. Molly, the key line in the story, though, as we will continue to discuss, the financial structure is not yet known. So we don't know what they plan to do in terms of the public ask. My sense would be if they're going to float this and pursue this, it would be much less than it is now. Right?
But I think what's fascinating, just think about the city of Chicago. You're talking about an area, you're talking about a site that has been vacant for a long time. There's nothing there. I got to be honest with you, it's actually not a bad site for the White Sox. If they wanted to move down
there. It's a good spot for a sports stadium. If you're going to build a sports stadium in the city.
If you want to build a dome, you build it here. Well, by the way, we've got all sorts of money, and we want to build, clubs, bars, maybe can we get a casino in here?
Which is where Jim Reynolds, the CEO of Loop Capital, may come in.
Yes.
Because he has been part of the coalition of real estate interests led by Farpoint Development. Scott Goodman proposed a $3.8 billion mega development, according to the story, at the property, which was approved in 2021. There is momentum here for such a project. You would think that there might be private investment here that doesn't exist on the lakefront.
And you build some hotels. They're talking about apartment buildings. David, you've got McCormick Place not far from there, okay? So you've got people coming into town for various conventions. You could keep them in that area, perhaps.
Wintrust Arena.
You got Wintrust Arena right there. The Chicago Sky.
South
there
Loop.
Paul.
The White Sox may build at the 78. That's a different story for another day. You mentioned during the break that it is a good idea. You're going to have the Obama Library. It's going to have to go a little bit further south.
That's Jackson Park.
But if somebody is a destination coming to Chicago for that purpose, I think that you could envision those things being very attractive.
That's
and very
short Uber ride.
It is.
Honestly.
And so this to me seems like it's something that makes a little bit more sense. And why they didn't propose this initially might be because they were obsessed with the lakefront. They wanted to see if they could get it done. But if this is the direction they choose to go, you still wonder what's going to happen to the land they own at Arlington Heights. Are they going to flip that? And this is not good news for Arlington Heights, because I do think you could envision this having a little bit more momentum and a lot more funding behind it that is, I think, private investment. That seems to be the gist of this.
I mean, I want to know who's against it. Again, we don't know the dollar numbers or anything like that. But again, if you have private investment adding to your $2.3 billion stadium plus, right? You can get people on board to invest in that. The Bears aren't going anywhere. And you're keeping the Bears in Chicago. It's a great destination to come to the city and be able to go to the lakefront to see a game. You know, you get this area fixed up. You're not that far from the L. I'm just saying, this changes kind of the way you look.
It would be an economic jolt to the South Side.
Yes, it would.
That everybody could understand.
Yes.
And I think it would definitely galvanize that part of the city in a way that is needed. And I think that it does seem to be something worth exploring more than maybe the other project is.
And you know, I wonder what the economist at the University of Chicago, the guy who came out and said, if you want to build a dome there on the lakefront.
Alan Sanderson.
He said something like you'd be just as well off throwing money out of a helicopter to try to get people
he
some
has
money.
A way with words.
Side. Well played.
And
I'm curious if this is more plausible. Let's start with Cody. Cody's on I-55. Hey, Cody. Cody, are you in a well? What's going on, buddy?
We bad can't connection, hear you. Cody. Speak a little clearer if you could.
All right.
I'm sorry, Cody.
Sorry, Cody. We'll try Carl. Carl's on the south side. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, this is a simple solution. I don't know why you guys haven't seen it. The easiest way to get this done is for the Bears to pick up the price. The team is worth that money to build a stadium just in their own value. And it can be at where Soldier Field is now. The Park District of a yield because the Bears get all the revenue for football. They spent money from other revenues during all season with the city. They build a parking facility down at Michael Reese, put in a people moving system that serves McCormick Place and Soldier Field, and they all make money. The city makes money. That bypasses the park, the friends of the park.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Cody. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about sticking where the stadium is
no,
now.
This is the, moving to the Michael
no,
Reese site. This is the new
site.
Story.
You're building a dome at the new site. Therefore, you know, you don't get the great shot off the lake, but the lake's not that far away. You got to go over LSD. I get it. But I mean,
you're in the city.
You're in the city.
You're in Chicago.
You're revitalizing an area.
Yeah.
And you're adding to what's already there, which is McCormick Place and Wintrust and all that stuff.
And Kevin Warren is big on making no small plans.
Yeah.
And quoting.
No, these are, you know, yes, you're right.
He wants something that is profound and lasting and significant. Regardless of where this is in the city, if the Bears remain in the city,
yes,
that will be a legacy that he should be proud of, or the Bears should definitely would cling to. Arlington Heights makes sense financially. We understand it's the way that the NFL works, and you build your own stadium, you print your own money, essentially. But if they stay in Chicago, I think everyone would understand the long-term value of that and the importance and significance of that.
And you know, what they're looking for with this public-private relationship at the current dome project, the idea of putting a dome where Soldier Field is, that is, I guess, in the south lot next to it. That is, that's not flying with anybody in Springfield.
I haven't heard anybody.
No one.
Haven't heard anybody explain that in a way that makes sense.
No.
I think they're going to look back at this time as wasted time and energy. Maybe resources, because this was a non-starter from the beginning, and they really devoted a lot of time and energy and resources to it.
Let's try Ethan. Ethan is on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ethan.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I think that your show is great, but here's my question. Why the pivot from an established place you have already bought for hundreds of millions of dollars in Arlington Heights to a place that doesn't have all the benefits that we're talking about on the lakefront? I mean, it was a full steam ahead charge with that, and now we're talking about a place that was not as unique and not not as established. So I just don't understand it. Is this a leverage play again?
I don't believe it's a leverage play, Ethan. I appreciate the phone call because I think it is a good question. And I just think it's a matter of, and correct if I'm wrong, Molly, but I think that it's just, they brought in Kevin Warren, and his vision was different than what Ted Phillips was or what the Bears was under Ted Phillips. And I think just the change at team president made their ambitions different. And I don't think they wanted to, I don't want to say settle for Arlington Heights, but their priorities might have shifted or changed. And there's became a higher priority to keep the Bears in the city. I don't know if that makes financial sense. I don't know if they're going to make as much money as they could if they buy the land, own the land, and own the stadium. But I do think that people, I think there's a lot of people could understand why there is value in staying in the city of Chicago and why the Bears would want to do this if it makes financial sense and it's not too big of a public ask.
I mean, look, you know, the Decatur Staleys moved to Chicago. They play in Wrigley Field. Then they move downtown to Soldier Field, and from the minute they are there, it's their home stadium, but they don't, it's a public facility, they don't own it. They want to try to maximize how much money they have. Clearly, the way to do it is to build your own building. You don't have to be Jerry Jones to figure that out. So the value of the franchise will increase exponentially depending on whether they get a dome and where they get that dome. They bought the old Arlington Heights. They thought that was going to be where they would end up. And now Kevin Warren comes in, and they operated on two fronts. And I did believe that they were using part of what they were doing. They were going to wind up in Arlington Heights. If this gives them another option where you can pretty much, if not save, create a new dynamic neighborhood in Chicago, is that what they're doing around the United Center right now?
That is what they're doing on the West Side.
Yes.
No doubt about it. That's a great example. The investment into those neighborhoods, into that part of the city by the Wirtzes and the Reinsdorfs, that significant investment in the city. This is similar to that. And I think if you hear excitement in our voices, it's not necessarily because we've changed our minds about this. Still is public subsidies are non-starter.
Oh, no.
That doesn't change.
I'm against
but
that.
This plan seems to, according to the initial report, include private investment by developers. That's a huge difference in the two sites and in the two plans.
That adds to the $2.3 billion that they have set aside for having their own. And you know what? I mean, the reality is, explain to me how investing in the museum campus dome helps the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago. It helps the Bears because by all accounts, everything that they were going to hold there, every concert, they got the revenue from it. It wasn't like they were giving back half of it, whatever it might be. So I guess it's all negotiation. But our city founders created was a lakefront where you don't have commercial businesses.
Right.
Where you have like the beauty of the lakefront itself. You know, the river isn't going to catch
fire. It's preserved
and
protected.
It did in Cleveland.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. So we're using part of what we have. All right. We've got to get to a break. We've got Coach Wanstead in. We can run some of this by him, but I think we're going to be talking football. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Dave Wanstead, Bears head coach for six seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score?
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wanstead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to have Coach Wanstead come visit us in studio. And Dave, you have been with so many different teams. You could probably wear a different sweatshirt for every one of them, but you're proudly displaying your Dolphins.
Great win last
after
night.
After that fantastic cross-country victory.
Thank you, but it was more about veterans
week.
Oh, okay. Look at you. Oh, okay. You got it all going.
That's nice. That's incredible. Nice touch, Dave.
There's the American flag on the shoulder.
Absolutely. No, this is in honor and appreciation for what all of our military does for us.
A nice gesture.
Thank you.
You're looking
for
like
your
a million
service.
Bucks. Yep. Thank you for your service. Now, if you can have any pipeline to Miami, can you tell Tua to stop making tackles?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, actually, I was listening. I did a little thing up at Four Winds yesterday.
How was that?
It was good. Very nice. They were very happy with it.
Did Grody
nice turnout. Grody was there. And obviously it was tough. You know, that, I think everybody was planning on the circumstances being different, but it was good. A lot of Bear, up there in New Buffalo, Michigan, a lot of Bear fans.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Bear angst.
Yep. And, so it was a good session. So I was listening to it on the way home. I did hear that play, though, David, when he got kicked in the head making a tackle, but I did not see it. Yep.
All right, Coach. So here we are. It is, again, Packer week. Usually that means we talk about the flower and his record against the Bears and how this has gone on far too long. But it would appear there are other issues. There are more pressing matters for the Bears, such as the offense that can't score, the fact that they drafted touchdowns, but they can't translate that into points. And the Bears now, it's as much about the kind of tottering season that they're having. It could go... Well, it's probably already gone the wrong way, but what do you do now that, we're expecting a change of play caller, if nothing else, and I don't believe the coach has said that won't happen. In fact, every time he talks, he implies something will happen. Does it take this long? Do they know what they're doing in terms of who will be calling the plays? Do they understand? Do they have their game plan ready, or is this... Is it okay that it's taken this long?
No. Well, today's Tuesday's your game plan day.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you get a lot of the rough work done on Monday, individual coaches, and then everybody comes together Tuesday morning, and now, your line coach comes in with your quarterback coach and receivers. Everybody comes together, and we make our presentations, and we say, this is good, this is bad, and then the coordinator starts making decisions on the plays. And the quarterback gets the game plan, we used to at least. I mean, the game plan would be ready for our quarterback by Tuesday at dinner time. We could say, here's what we're going to do this week. And for the most part, and like short yardage and goal line would come later on in a few situations. But the guts of it, the meat and potatoes of it, it would be ready. And then our middle linebackers, wherever I've been, I would have them come by or I would send them the game plan by this time, too. So this is a big week. So decisions got to be made now because someone's got to sit in those meetings. Here's my interpretation, and then I'll let you guys go. I said this right after the game. What I think, number one, we've got Eric Washington running a defense. We know Flus does a great job with the defense. He can still, as a head coach, he should be involved in every call that happens in the game. It should be run through you, offense, defense, special teams. I would let Eric Washington take the defense this week, okay? And I would sit in every offensive meeting myself. And I would, and tell these guys what you want out of your offense. This is what I want to do. You know, his job's on the line. They're all their jobs are on the line. But I think Flus is a smart guy. I believe that. And you got to lay the groundwork. And I lost confidence in Shane Waldron when you give the ball to the offensive lineman on the goal line and you run an option play on the 10-yard line. Guys, you don't run options down there. I mean, I used to be on option teams, okay? We got down there, that's not – quarterback gets hit. A lot of chances for the ball to go on the ground. And those safeties are going to have the pitch, or David knows that he played it, or standing about 4 yards away from you. You know what I mean? That's when I started losing some faith. Here's how they need to set up the game plan. And this is all my opinion. My opinion, you always start with that offensive line. What can the guys we have do and have a chance to be successful, okay? Once we establish that, now you add the running game. In other words, if we can't pull our offensive linemen, You can't put in a toss play. And, you know, you're going ass backwards. And don't even think of putting in the passes until you establish that. That's the key to me. That's the starting point. We're down some offensive linemen. What can they do to be successful? Okay, now we know that. Now we start building.
This segment, Dave Wansa, sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all-weather protection for your business.
All right, now we have an established idea. We'll come back and quiz you on that. It is Mully and Haw with Coach Wanstead on the Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.